John, you've been in Jefferson City government for a while, and you're from around here, so you've seen this prison site go through a lot of changes. What are you hearing from folks about what they would like to see, and how do you feel about how the plan is going thus far?
Well, I'm hearing two things. One is what's happening and can we get things moving? Kind of a generic interest in the community. Because there have been some delays, and those delays are really nobody's fault. Some of it's attributable to just the size and complexity of the project. So what I'm hearing from the community to some extent is, gee whiz, let's get the show on the road. The other thing I'm hearing in the community is what an opportunity it is, and how there needs to be, there's room for a lot of different things in that site. Sometimes when we deal on a smaller scale, I know in zoning and in development issues, you've got a small site, and you're dealing with one or maybe two uses. The great thing about this project is it's so big and it's got so many different components in it that there's room for a lot of different stuff. The historic items were mentioned today. There is room in that site for a considerable amount of historic preservation and appreciation. There is riverfront access. Hardly any of it's in the floodplain, for example. You've got some state facilities over there now. The good thing about this map is that the state has identified those areas that they, for lack of a better word, that they want to kind of hang on to. And that's a good thing because we're the state capital and we always want to have sites for state facilities. So you have the state component, you have the historic preservation component, you have potential retail spinoff, you've got riverfront access. And one item that kind of fell out of the original master plan, I was part of the process 10 years ago, for some reason we really didn't look very seriously at housing. I've come to believe that site should have some housing components because we want it to be a 24-hour site. We don't want it just to be an 8-to-5 site that goes dark after 5:30. All of those things I mentioned, state offices, commercial, the judicial center, the historic preservation, all of those things are enriched if we can bring in some housing components both in that site. And let's not forget, that site isn't an island. That site is in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And one of my dreams would be that as we work hard on this site, that the surrounding neighborhoods create opportunities for redevelopment. And it's really already occurring. There's already some spinoff commercially and from a residential standpoint related to the site. You can go a little bit farther east to Warwick Village, down at the corner of High and McCarty. You can look at Ash Street, Prison Brews, and some of the live entertainment venues there. Juanita Donahue's restaurant. I'm excited not only about this acreage, but what it's going to do to the surrounding 500 acres.
I was going to ask, with the Mission Prison Brews, there's already some revitalization efforts going on. They're talking about building this bike and pedestrian trail across the Missouri River Bridge, representing Jefferson City. Do you feel like this is just another piece of the puzzle that's really going to bring this old part of town to light, and it won't be the bad part of town anymore?
Well, that's exactly right. Redevelopment is hard. I tell my staff this all the time. They probably get tired of hearing it, but greenfield development, we're really good at that. If you look at our development expertise, both in the development community and at a staff level, our expertise has been in what I call greenfield development, where somebody buys 80 acres and they want to put 150 houses on it. We can do streets, we can do sewers, we can do stormwater on those sites. We have got that down pat. something that's very, it's harder and it's more complicated is redevelopment. Because you're taking an existing landscape, you're taking existing uses, and you're trying to redevelop those and warp those into something modern. A great example is what Larry Cobb is doing down on Dunklin Street. That streetscape on Dunklin Street is being completely rehabilitated. That's private capital. And what that means from a city standpoint, from a staff standpoint, is that they have to look at building codes, they have to look at zoning, they have to look at ADA compliance, they have to look at stormwater, really in a different light, because they don't have the luxury of having a clean palette to work with, right? Those are challenges, and what I see in the last 5 years, our development community, like the Larry Cobbs of the world, and our staff, they're getting better at redevelopment. And so as this site begins to become more robust, we're going to have private capital investing in those neighborhoods and doing redevelopment.
And you know, this project, as you mentioned, it blends private interests, public interests, government interests, which could be a tricky tightrope in a lot of situations. But it seems to me like you're saying this is a big enough area that there will be something for everyone.
You've got to have private capital. I've said all along that we really don't want this to be a 135-acre state project in terms of just being state-owned. We have to have private capital for a couple of different reasons. Private capital brings entertainment venues and commercial venues. They bring tax dollars, just to be frank. We have sales tax and we have property taxes. Private capital also creates more of a 24-hour community. State offices, state facilities tend to be 8 to 5. State facilities alone don't create neighborhoods. But with that blend, what we could see, what I think we will see in the next 5 to 10 years, we will have people doing something that larger cities work hard for. People walking to work, walking to shop, parking their cars, and the ability to create a community there where people both live and work and shop, and that's what larger metropolitan areas are striving for all the time. We have that opportunity here. If we get, you know, we already have the state health lab, and we have the DNR building. We're going to have the federal courthouse opening up. Those are good jobs. And if we get a couple of more state projects in there, we're going to have an employment nexus there. And what we're trying to do is create an environment where people don't have to drive in and use fossil fuels and get in traffic jams and then run home miles away every day at 5 o'clock. We can create an urbanized center where people actually walk to work, walk to shop, where they have entertainment venues. That's the dream, and I think it's a real opportunity, and today really gets us closer to that.
This is, as you all said, going to be many, many years of different phases of development. When do you think is a good ballpark estimate of your average visitor to the Capitol, or somebody who maybe comes in on the train, gets off, does the Capitol tour, and can walk down there, get a place to stay, visit the historic sites, etc.? What's a good estimate?
Well, some of those things are happening already. Everything you mentioned except a place to stay is happening already, because and if you talk to Steve Picker at the CVB, what we're really looking for is kind of the tipping point where we become a destination where people stay overnight. Right now, we've got some amenities where people will come for day trips, and they'll drive back to St. Louis, or they'll just stop for the afternoon and go to Central Dairy and then drive to Branson. What we're really looking for is adding a couple of components where people look at the menu of choices and they say, you know, There's quite a bit to do there. Why don't we come in on Saturday and stay overnight and do a couple of things on Sunday morning? The historic components of this site are a part of that tipping point, because we've got the beautiful Capitol complex, we've got some other amenities. The prison tours are really going to do that. So a lot of that's happening now. In terms of a build out that would have a hotel, that's a couple years down the road, to be honest. And there are some components of this project that are 10 and 15 years out. I mean, if this was in the middle of Atlanta, you would have one developer come in and do it in 36 months. Well, we don't have the economies that are capable of driving that type of development, and we're not going to pretend to be. But what we do have is we've got some things that will be popping, I believe, in the next 3 to 5 years. When we bring the road through, I think there's going to be interest in the private sector in locating some amenities in that central bowl area that is reserved. I think the green areas, the historic preservation areas, I'm looking for a partnership with some of the state agencies that actually maintain museums and parks, partnering with them to, you know, have you ever been to Alcatraz, for example? This facility is 100 years older than Alcatraz. I've been to Alcatraz, and we can do, and we're starting to do things that are as interesting as Alcatraz, and maybe even more so. Those types of things I see really ramping up in a 3 to 5 year window. Now, there are some other components to that site that are going to be 10 or 15 years down the road. Some of the natural area over toward Riverside Park, that's going to be longer term. It's going to be a while before we bring another leg of the parkway up to the east. That's 10 years down the road.
So the first thing that's going to happen is what and when? The road?
Right.
The one main yellow strip there that runs right through it.
Yeah, by the opening of the federal courthouse in the spring of 2011, Lafayette Street will go all the way to the river.
Okay.
We've got the funding for that in place, and we're letting the bids after the first of the year. So that first leg to get us to the river and with the federal courthouse, the way that federal courthouse is positioned is positioned intentionally to not just be dropped down in the middle of a site. The architects and the judges that looked at the configuration of that federal courthouse envisioned a public place, a parkade setting, kind of a plaza setting that is designed to interface and coordinate with the historic entrance to the courthouse that's housing unit 1, where the clock is on Lafayette Street. Okay, so by the time the federal courthouse opens in 2011, that Lafayette Street is completely refurbished, and we hope to have the facade of housing unit 1, the official entrance to the penitentiary, being rehabilitated to the extent that it looks nice, and those doors can then be used every day as the actual entrance into the historical area. Now the prison tours are actually kind of coming in the back door. So those things I just mentioned, those are a year away. Those are very, very short term. Next 3 to 5 years, we bring the parkway through to Chestnut Street. You get private capital interested in that bowl area, and then we take it as it comes.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.